was thinking about when Frank said his grandson got into a Christian school that the Supreme Court ruled that if people get vouchers to pay for their children to go to school, I'm not sure what qualifications it takes to meet that, but there are people that get vouchers to pay for their children's schooling, and they can use them in Christian schools now. And that was passed by the Supreme Court. Mike and LaDonna Baker, both have COVID, and Miss Faye Collins is there as LaDonna's mother. Mike's her son-in-law, and they live near each other. So Faye didn't want to come to church Sunday because she may have been around them some, and so remember them, please. Roger Long, we talked about needing a kidney transplant. They are talking now with Chelsea about, that if somebody matches him and somehow or another Chelsea could give a kidney to somebody else and then somebody else could give a kidney to her daddy, that kind of thing. A swapping out, a bartering system, you know. If she's not a match to give him hers, her daddy. Miss Florence, we've been praying for her sister and daughter. We want to continue to lift them in prayer. They're on your list in the bulletin that comes out on Sundays. Ephesians 4, if you'd look there with me tonight, and beginning with verse number 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. We're going to look at the ministry of the church tonight. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So God gave gifted ones to the church to equip the saints of God for the work of the ministry. So we're all involved in the work of the ministry. All the saved are ministers of the Lord. The word minister means servants. And we're all servants of the Most High God. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Lord said, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we are not just servants of the Lord, we are the children of God, the sons of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. And God has given us opportunity to serve him. The book of Romans says in chapter 6 and verse 18 that there was a time before we were saved that we were serving sin. Romans 6, 18 says, then being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So in the past, we served Satan in sin before we were saved. Now that we've been delivered from that, we serve in righteousness. So the ministry of the church, we are his ministers, we are his servants. We are to be consumed with the will of God and not our own will. And a servant is a continuous action. The most common word in the New Testament is doulos, which is a permanent relationship of servitude to another. It could be referred to as a slave. Paul considered himself that kind of a servant unto the Lord Jesus Christ, a slave that was willingly joining himself to the Lord for continuous service. He was more concerned with doing the will of God than doing his own will. And that's the way it was with a servant with their master. He was consumed in the will of the master, not in his own. So Jesus took on flesh. He made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant, came in the likeness of man. And he served the Father's will. You'll remember when he prayed in Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He did the Father's will always, even unto death, even the death of the cross. So the church today too often focuses on entertainment. And in focusing on entertainment, it leaves Christians shallow rather than teaching them the depth of the Word of God. We vitally need to be rooted and grounded in the Word for what we're going to face in hard times in the circumstances of dealing with unsaved people. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Being rooted and grounded, like a psalmist said, if we study the Word of God, it will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. And we will have the grounding and the ability to serve the Lord and accomplish something even in hard times. Being rooted deals with our foundation. Our foundation is Christ. When you build a high-rise building, you dig down into the ground. The higher you're going to go with the building, the deeper the foundation needs to be so that it will be strong enough to stand. And the deeper you go, the higher you can get. Spiritually, that's sort of the truth with us. The deeper we are in the Word, the more we'll be useful for God, the more we'll know of the things of God, and the more we can accomplish something for God. Instead of the entertainment philosophy that churches have today, we need to get back to having a proper understanding of what worship really is. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So if we are filled with the Spirit, then this is the natural outcome of a spiritual person. To have worship that is focused on our praise to God, our exalting of the Lord and His Word, not self and the flesh. Churches need to be on a mission to reach the lost and to glorify God in all we do. And what we have today in churches is a maintenance to meet the felt needs of the people. We focus on programs and entertainment and all that sort of thing to make people come to the church. And sadly, unless you're in a strong Bible-believing church, then there won't be a lot of depth that you'll come through by attending a church like those. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, verse 12, that the believers by then should have been able to be teachers unto others. But they lacked, they were still on the milk of the Word and not on the meat of the Word. They had not grown in their depth. And so that's still a problem today. You remember the Magi came to worship the King of the Jews. They didn't come to have a celebratory service. They came to bow down before him and bring their gifts to him and make sacrifices to him. We're not to have confidence in the flesh, but we're to focus on the spiritual. In churches, it's not rituals and traditions or selfishness or prideful things that strengthen us and make us equipped to help other people. You'll remember Abraham went to obey God. And Abraham, God told him to go and offer his son, his only begotten son, unto God. And Abraham went with his son, taking Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice. And he said to the servants, "Ye abide here, and I and the lad will go there and worship." He was going to worship the Lord in sacrifice of his son. But God stopped him and provided the substitute. And he became one of the first people to have a real proper understanding of the substitutionary sacrifice and what all that really means. And the mountain range where Abraham was is the same mountain range that Calvary is on, that God would offer his son to pay for our sins. In our outline tonight, I wrote, "There's never been a time when the church was not important and necessary, but with the darkness of the sinful society that we live in today, it's more important than ever before. The church ministry is vital for Christian growth and for our maintenance with our walk with God. We're like a pond receiving a flow from God, like a strong stream coming into a pond. The pond has to have an outlet. Once it gets full, the dam will break or the water will stagnate if you don't have an outlet to keep the water moving. And so we've got to have an outlet of service for God. As we take in all these things from the Lord, we'll remember them better and learn them deeper if we're using them in ministering to other people. So the more we try to minister, tell people about the Lord, the better we're going to remember these things and grow in them. We need biblically qualified pastors to fulfill the role in equipping the saints, evangelists and pastors and teachers. And we have, the Bible gives us the qualifications. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3. So this is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons." So it gives us the qualifications of pastors and deacons in the church to be used of God and to train the people of God. A bishop, as he refers to in Timothy and Titus, elders and bishops and pastors, that term is synonymous. A bishop means an overseer. An elder can mean a senior man or senior of seniority. And of course, in the Old Testament, the elders were the leaders of the tribes. In the church, it is those men that God has equipped who have been selected for ordination. And then there are pastors, which is those who feed the flock. And the importance of a bishop and a pastor and an elder is that we train all of the people of the church to be in the ministry. That we have a ministry from this church to the community in which we live. We have a ministry around the world through missions giving and sending forth and praying for our missionaries. The people we rub shoulders with in the workplace and school and business and in our neighborhoods may today have philosophies that have Marxist influence, like the Black Lives Matter group is. Some of the colleges and universities are pushing that philosophy more and more, or they may have liberal religious teachings from those church backgrounds that don't teach the Bible but teach denominational liberalism. Or maybe they've been out in sin and they're involved in alcohol or drugs or illicit sexual relationships. Or maybe they're just ignorant of truth because nobody's ever taught them the things of the Lord. And that's where we come in. As a church people, we can have influence. We can give them answers. We have answers to the questions about their life and what's going to happen to them when they die, and how they could gain the Lord's help in raising their children. I don't know of even the wickedest of people who don't have some jealousy of Christian families whose children come up right and marry right and go on to live good lives and raise godly grandchildren. I mean, that's something that everybody wants from their families and their children and their marriages. And as God's people, it's imperative that we have those things as a testimony that can be used to help other people see how it is done. The Lord said we have purpose in this world to be salt and light. Our testimony needs to be grounded firm in biblical understanding so that we know truth, so that if we are questioned about the reason for the faith that is in us, as Peter says, that we have the answer, that we know how to explain the answer to somebody. And therefore, we are ministering to the community around us. We must avoid being influenced by the society we live in or false teaching that's current in our day. We've got to be the one who teaches the truth, and we're not influenced by what is false. You don't have to have a Bible college degree to be able to minister to people for the Lord. You do it on your level. You do it with your knowledge. You don't have to have those credentials. What you have to have that's the most important is that you care. You care about people who are lost. You care about teaching the things of God to someone. You care about the circumstance that people are in today. And I want to tell you, friends, they're in a mess. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse all the time. So we've got to practice the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And if we practice the fruit of the Spirit, then our lives will be evident to people. There's something different about us than the average person that's in society today. We've got to be careful that we don't become hot-headed and short-tempered when we are talking to people about the things of God. You might get cursed. You might get rejected. You might get made fun of. And we've got to temper ourselves that we don't get in such a debate that we get heated because we can undermine the seeds we're planting, that though people reject it to our face, if we plant seeds and they see our sincerity and our goodness, it may bring fruit over a period of time with them. In James chapter 3, look there with me. James 3 and verse 13. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, and that means a good lifestyle or good behavior, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So God needs us to be peacemakers, not troublemakers. We need to go out and make peace with the unsaved world by letting them know we care about them, by letting them know we have truth that will help them. Never forget that the message of the gospel that we want to tell people is good news. It's the good news of how they can go to heaven. And if people really think that might be able to start settling in a little bit, and be those little seeds that will start sprouting after a period of time if we leave a good testimony with them. God's given many people specific burdens for specific people. Some folks have a real burden to try to reach the youth of today. We have people who teach the children in Master Club and the teenagers, and a full-time youth pastor, and we've got young men going to Bible college that are helping for the summer. And these guys have a desire to help with the youth. And how important that is, because more people who are saved get saved in their youth than they do in old age. You think people get old, they're thinking about dying, they think about how long they're going to live, you think they'd be a little more open. Problem is they've rejected the Lord so many times, they've hardened their heart. And that is a hard person to win, someone who's hardened their heart. So some have a burden for the youth. Some have a burden to work with the senior citizens, to be a caregiver, to meet needs of godly people who are seniors. Some of the ladies may have a burden to work with the ladies. Some of the men with the men. There are specific areas that God may lead you to. You might be burdened for a particular ethnic group. We've had folks on the bus route, we pick up a number of the young black children from the neighborhood right over here beside us. And we love to see their families saved and see them in church and being taught truth. And we had several of them saved and baptized through the Master Club program over the years. And we praise the Lord for that. But all of us should always remember we're to be a witness to everybody that we come in contact with. Anybody we get an opportunity to witness to, we should be prepared to be a witness and help them to come to the truth. Our ministry is vitally important. It's vitally important because as a church and all of us in the ministry, we are discipling those who've been saved. We are also seeing people get saved and avoid going to hell for all eternity. The ministry is important because of who it's for. We are the servants of the Most High God. We are ministering to the world in need. And we do this not for ourselves, we do this for the Lord. We must not lose focus when we serve the Lord, because things get discouraging sometimes. They get difficult, they get hard. We don't keep going because of the kids in the class. We keep going because we're doing it for the Lord. And one day we'll be rewarded for all that, but that comes at the end, not at the beginning. The enemy will do everything he can to defeat us or injure us. As humans, we can get tired, we can get physically sick or have a disease, we can become injured, we can be battered or broken. But we should quickly rise up from these things and get back in our focus for the Lord and continue in the work of the ministry. And the people we're trying to reach, there's an urgency in our ministry because the window of opportunity may not last for your neighbor that lives near you. We live next door to a new housing development with 60-something houses, and there's already been two of those houses that have sold and people have left who were living there in that community. And I think there's somebody else that's trying to see about moving now also. I don't know how long we have to witness to them. Some people come down with cancer and heart trouble and could pass away even at a younger age. So their time of opportunity will be over when death takes them. The window of opportunity, I love that expression. There's a window of opportunity for us to do what we're doing, and now is the best way to look at that. Now is when it is needed, and now is the time. We are a priesthood of believers, and as priests in the Old Testament, they were split up into different groups with different responsibilities. The church does that with the people who work with the youth and those that work with the teens and those that work with the adults. We have different functions, but we're all involved in the work of the ministry. And the priests of the Old Testament, some of them had to pack up everything and move it from one location to another and then set it back up again when they were in the tabernacle. And it was some of their jobs to keep the fires burning for the altar. And we certainly need to keep the fires of the gospel burning bright here at Bible Baptist Church. They had ceremonies like the washing at the laver. And we need to make sure we keep our hearts clean before the Lord and our hands clean with God. We must also recognize there were some that burned the incense and took care of the lampstand. The New Testament, Zechariah was a priest, and it was his course, the course of Abia, as he was his turn to burn incense at the temple when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said that he and his wife would have a son, and it would be John the Baptist. And he was doing his turn of service of burning the incense. Now, anybody could burn incense, but not in the temple. Only of the priesthood. Only certain incense. Only in a certain way. And as we serve the Lord, God has requirements of us for our lives to be holy. And we must not take the work of the ministry we're doing as anything casual and light. Everything we do here, we do for the honor and glory of the Lord. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. And as we seek to be those priests that we should be, then we'll keep the fires burning. The lampstand in the holy place, you know the story, they ran out of oil when Syria had desecrated the temple. And they sought to consecrate the oil to light the lampstand. And they prayed and they used what they had And they believe a miracle took place that it lasted until they could go through the ceremony to consecrate oil to keep the lampstand burning. And so that's where the festival of Hanukkah comes from among the Jewish people. You say, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, that's what the one feast that happens in the wintertime. The Bible says Jesus was at the winter feast. He talked to them about the light of the world. And they were celebrating the festival of lights, which is what we call Hanukkah today. Old Jerry Clower was a Christian comedian. He used to tell jokes about coon hunting all the time, going in the woods with a lantern. And he said it'd be somebody would be designated to carry the lantern to show the light, because there were roots sticking up above the ground at night, and there were stump holes. You city folk don't know what a stump hole is. A stump hole is where a tree has fallen down rotten and it's left an indentation in the ground where the stump used to be. It gets covered over with pine needles and leaves, and you step on it and you can go down about your knee. Could even break a leg if you weren't careful. So that light was important. He wrote me a note over at Ryan's Steakhouse. He found out I was a pastor. He said, "Dear Brother Jim, tote the light." And I've thought of that many times. My job here is to tote the light, friends. And your job is to tote the light for your family and for your neighborhood and for your coworkers. And let's share the work of the ministry and get the job done. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here tonight. I pray you'll bless them, give them safety in their travel, supply their needs. Lord, you know the need of this gas situation that is costing everybody twice what it did to go the same mile. So we pray you'll bless them and stretch their income to meet their needs. And Lord, we look to you tonight as your people. We offer you praise and thanks for all your blessings, most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Help us to be in the ministry serving you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Diane.